Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Today comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. You may locate these texts in your pew Bible on page 909. First, let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Village on Mission, I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters at Village on Antioch. This morning, Dr. Nishioka is down at Village on Antioch leading worship, which means they're probably going to try to keep him for a few extra days. So y'all just be ready. This could be a little bit longer placement than we thought, but we'll get it all sorted out. We'll get Roger back up here. It is an absolute joy to be here with you today. If I can be honest, I was a little worried. This is the first time I've done three back-to-back-to-back like this, but between the Village ringers and the chamber singers, man, I'm ready to go. I'm having to like bring myself down a little bit to do this. Chamber singers, if y'all are not busy tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., I'll be down at Village on Antioch unlocking the doors. If y'all could do that introit as I walk in, that would be great. That's a way to start a week right there. Thank y'all, all of you, all of our musicians, our instrumentalists today, you have really blessed our worship. Thank you. It is amazing to be here with you and do this one church in two locations thing that we're doing. My wife, Erin, our sons, Levi and Nathan, and I have been here now for, I am told, 35 days. And it has been humbling how we have been received by the entire Village family. So thank you for your warm welcome. In that time, a lot has happened at Village on Antioch. We have thanked Reverend Hallie Hoddle for her service. We've had a reception with cake and bouncy balls, which was the highlight for my kids. And I have been officially received by the Presbytery. Sunday has not been deterred by some downright crummy weather, so we are worshiping and settling into new ministry together. And on a personal note, I'd like to report that at last count, there are only seven boxes left to unpack in our home. In just 13 years of marriage, this is the fifth time Erin and I have unpacked in a new state. And I am really impressed with our turnaround on this one. With every place we've lived, I've noticed that there are certain things about each one that are a really big deal to newcomers like us, but they go without fanfare by the locals. In Princeton, New Jersey, people walk past the home of Albert Einstein every day. Theory of Relativity, Albert Einstein. And no one cared. In Pasadena, Maryland, we were just 45 minutes away from the National Mall, the Smithsonian Museums, all the national monuments, and no one was overly excited. In Florida, everyone just assumed you should be able to do Christmas in flip-flops. And in Texas, the one thing that we thought was amazing that the locals took absolutely no pride in was nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because Texans, God bless their hearts, are certain that everything is bigger and better in Texas. And that includes Texan sense of state pride. Now, before the Texans among us are tempted to storm out, let me confess that as a South Carolinian, I carry an equally strong sense of pride in my state. So when I was in Texas, for example, people would say, "Remember the Alamo?" And they still do that, just so y'all know, they still do that. And I would say, "Yes, let us never forget the Alamo," in which South Carolinian William Barrett Travis organized a bunch of Texans and told them what to do so they could accomplish their mission. Let us never forget the Alamo. The Texans love that one, by the way, just so you know. Since arriving in Kansas, there have been a couple of things that you locals seem to be taking for granted that I am pretty excited about. Now, this first one I'm going to share with you, you can't tell anybody in South Carolina. If you tell them this, they will not let me back in. Okay? So can we keep this a secret? Okay. All right. The barbecue here is awesome. It's really good. And everyone I talk to is like, yeah, it's pretty good. It's amazing. I could honestly eat the brisket cold for breakfast. It is that good. So y'all don't take that for granted. The second thing that no one seems too excited about there are these little brown signs that are right along the roadways that mark out the major trail frontier routes like the Oregon and Santa Fe trails. You've probably seen them. It is incredible for me to think that just a couple hundred years ago, there were pioneers in covered wagons following these trails all around us into unknown lands, pushing out into the frontier. That is incredible. And most of you just drive past them without even noticing them. You got to remember, my ancestor, Johann Thomas Frick, got off that boat from Germany to South Carolina 250 years ago and was like, "I'm good. Y'all go on. It's good. I'll stay here." And that is an exact quote, just a heavier German accent. This whole frontier thing is amazing to me. And I don't just mean living in a place where these trails crisscrossed. I'm talking about the frontier that we, Village on Mission and Village on Antioch, are on together right now. If I understand today's text correctly, the call those first disciples received, the call that has echoed throughout the church universal for the last 2,000 years, and which now Village Church is responding to, is to meet Christ on the frontier, on the edge of the known and the unknown, to undertake a task both holy and new. That's the frontier on which I see Village on Mission and Village on Antioch. Our gospel reading for today comes from the 28th chapter of Matthew, and there we see the frontier of a world transformed and renewed by the power of resurrection. But if you look just a chapter or two before our gospel reading, there is no way that you would think we'd end up there. After Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion, the disciples, the men at least, are apparently so shaken up by that event that they disappear from the story entirely. I mean, there is not a word about the remaining 11 disciples after Jesus' arrest. They are in the wind. And while that's not the response we would have hoped for from them, I don't want to beat them up too badly for it. Now, I might be saying this because I am a man, and every winter I get what my wife calls man colds. Man colds, according to her, are harmless little viruses that I treat like biblical plagues. I don't want to get into who's right and who's wrong, especially because she's at Antioch this morning, but I will simply point out that it is historical fact that the very first symptom of bubonic plague was fatigue. So I prefer to think of myself as cautiously informed. Regardless, I really do get why the disciples would want to disappear after their friend, their rabbi, the person who helped them shape their hopes and dreams, not only died, but died on a cross for the whole world to see. When things have gone wrong, and I mean really wrong, you want to grieve privately. You're afraid that you might be next. You maybe feel a little ashamed that you invested all your hopes and dreams in a now shattered delusion. I'd hide too. I'd tend to my wounds, and I would try to envision a very different and a very bitter future. Because when your world caves in under the weight of the cross, it is hard to breathe, much less to dig your way out. Thankfully, they weren't alone. They were helped by other disciples, women who encountered Jesus at the empty tomb and who brought with them an unexpected message for them to go meet him on a mountain in Galilee. Far from dead and gone as they had feared, Jesus had returned from the frontier between life and death and was now calling them to meet him on another frontier. So they go forward to meet Jesus, unsure of what they will find. When they get there, they encounter Jesus Christ, risen from the grave, and all of them worship him, even as some of them doubt. Now, for any of us who believe that we are oh so different from these disciples, separated from them by time and space as we are, take this in. With the risen Christ standing before them, there were some who doubted as they worshiped. That sound like anybody you know? Like maybe yourself? I know I've been here, and this story is a source of great comfort to me because the ones who doubt with the risen Christ literally right before their eyes aren't asked to leave. After they get up off their knees, every single one of them is given the same commission. Go, teach, baptize, make disciples. He asks them to do a new thing, and this risen Christ who moves from one frontier to the next calls them, even those uncertain of what's happening, maybe especially those who are uncertain. To do these things in the unknown lands of all nations. So let's just appreciate this for one moment. Jesus, risen from the dead, has just commissioned a bunch of man-cold-having fishermen who have never left Galilee, some of them filled with doubt, to disperse throughout the known world and share the good news. Now, if he were just sending them out by themselves, I would have some concerns about this strategy. But they are not going to be alone. This new frontier where they will fulfill this holy work, this great commission, is also where they will join Jesus Christ. Always out front of them, blazing a trail until the end of the age. So where is this frontier? There are lots of frontiers, lots of places that Jesus continues to call disciples to do a new thing. In Matthew's gospel, the frontier is where the darkness of the tomb meets the first light of a new day, where the threat of death is conquered by the promise of new life. It's where the known and the unknown converge into a horizon where there is God-given work to be done. As best as I can tell, that's the frontier that we're on in our life together as Village Presbyterian Church. At 148th in Antioch, where the weight of crucifixion could have crushed everyone and everything, where some were certain that it would, the risen Christ has instead claimed it in the power of resurrection as a frontier from which we can go, baptize, teach, and make disciples. Now, by making disciples, we don't just mean evangelizing, though that is part of it, Presbyterians. All right? Evangelism's part of it. Making disciples is also about nurturing and forming generations of disciples and their communities through worship, study, outreach, and prayer. It takes a lot of coffee for that many fellowship hours, gallons of glue for VBS, and plenty of binders for our committee work, because we are Presbyterian. It takes a lot to make disciples. So I give thanks. I give thanks that the disciples of Jesus Christ at the Presbyterian Church of Stanley and the disciples at Village Presbyterian Church responded to Christ's call to meet him in this holy work and have now given us the place in which and from which we can fully live into our calling. Because a whole lot of disciples met him on the frontier in reverence and some in doubt, we've got a place where we can welcome all of God's children into the full life of the church. A place from which we can take care of our neighbors in need. A place from which we can meet Christ in holy work that we haven't even imagined yet. You remember those little brown trail signs that I was talking about at the beginning, the ones on the side of the road? I noticed my first one just a few weeks ago on my morning commute right at the corner of Antioch and 150th, with a large wooden cross on the side of Village on Antioch right behind it. I'm not going to lie, this sermon pretty much wrote itself that day. There were people pushing out on the frontier right beside the church. And we get to do something similar, following the promise of new life that Jesus makes on the edge of the known and the unknown. Now, I don't want to romanticize this too much. I mean, in full disclosure, full honesty here, just a few days ago, I saw one of these amazing brown trail signs in front of a Taco Bell. So take that for what it's worth. This great commission, this Christ on the frontier work, it is not easy, it is not glamorous. Like those first disciples, there is much that will bring us to our knees as we are amazed by what we are witnessing. But there's also going to be some doubt and some uncertainty about what is happening in the moment and how exactly it is going to shake out in the future. The Presbyterian way of doing things decently and in order is hard out on the frontier. On my office wall, you will find a large 1859 map of Kansas. Molly Ramsey, our ministry assistant at Village on Antioch, tells me it is a public land survey system map. I do not fully understand what that means, but the map shows Kansas with about the eastern third mapped out with county names and major cities. But west of that, you won't find county names or city names. The only names that you'll find are attached to the rivers. That's the only thing named out on the frontier. It's a reminder to me that while what we know now is by no means insignificant, there's a lot more to learn and a lot more frontier to cross. There are no doubt hard miles ahead of us. There will be times that we come to a fork in the road and we have to do our best to figure out the right path. Sometimes we won't. And sometimes we'll have to make our own path. Those moments can be scary. And like those 11 disciples we read about today, that fear can tempt us to hide away in the places that we know, even if they have caved in under the weight of hopelessness that comes with the cross. But friends, that is not our call. When those moments come, we have to remember that we are a resurrection people, commissioned to meet Christ on the frontier. We have to remember that we've already ventured into some unknown territory. I mean, we invented the term site pastor. No one outside a village has the foggiest idea of what the term site pastor means. If you have friends who are Presbyterian polity wonks, and really, don't we all, right? If you have those friends, do not talk to them about the site pastor. It will not compute. It's like telling them there's a nink in the sink or a wocket in the pocket or some other Seussism, or telling them that there's a Texan with true humility about their state. It just doesn't add up for them. Friends, we have already mapped out some of this, and that's important to remember. More important is that we keep worshiping alongside of one another, because that's what preceded Christ's commissioning of the disciples. But most important is that when we are tempted to hide, afraid that we are all alone in this, we have to remember we are never called to a place where Christ is not already at work out in front of us, calling us to join him in this life-giving commission. If we can remember and hope these things, we are going to get to the right place, and we are going to get there by the right paths. It's that sure and certain knowledge that led a native South Carolinian to Kansas to a call that more polity-minded Presbyterians just can't seem to understand. It's that sure and certain knowledge that led to the formation of Village on Antioch by disciples who responded to Christ's call. And it's that sure and certain knowledge that will continue to lead us forward into new horizons, into new and holy work, and into new life for us and for our neighbors. Village Church, let us continue with all that we are and all that we have to meet Christ on the frontier. Now to the one who always meets us on the edge of the known and the unknown, and shows us the way forward, to this one be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.